We are in the middle of a series on the church, and as we are marching through this, God has been directing us towards some different truths and concepts in relation to the church. I'd like to invite you to turn your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. As you're doing this, today God's going to direct our attention to two illustrations of the church that He uses in the Scriptures. He illustrates the church in two ways, and that is through the way of the body and through the way of a building. And we are going to be looking at those aspects today, and we're going to be building upon what we have been studying in the past couple messages in our times together. Just a refresher, remember we began our study in Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus introduces the church and declares that it is His church and He is going to be the builder. And it's going to be a group of called out ones, ecclesia, the church. It's going to be built upon a foundation of the apostles, and namely even Peter, his name is mentioned there. And it is going to be more powerful than even death and the evil one. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then we looked at last week how Jesus Christ is the substance of the church. Remember, the lesson we learned is that you take Jesus Christ away from the church, you have no church at all. So we learned that Jesus Christ is the substance of the church, and we also saw that the Holy Spirit is the strength of the church. You take the Holy Spirit away from the church, and the church has no ability to operate or to exist. So building upon that foundation and the importance of Jesus Christ in the Spirit of God, and we saw that evident throughout the book of Acts in our survey of the book of Acts last week, we now draw our attention to the epistles where the Apostle Paul seeks to lead us from the early church to the enduring church of which we are a part of today. We are going to see how these epistles illustrate the body of Christ, the church, through the physical means of a body. You know, I love how the Scriptures use illustrations that we can easily understand. You know, God could have used a organism that only exists out in the oceans and is only microscopic. But no, God chose to use a body. And He speaks of the church in relation to a body. And then He also speaks of the church in relationship to a building. Now this morning I had the idea, but I didn't bring them, of bringing a baby doll and a pile of blocks. And this would have been great. And I want to ask you kids a little bit, some questions here, all right? When you look at a person, or if I were holding up a baby doll here, what is the most important part of a person? What do you think, children? What's the most important part? Like, if you take it away, the person wouldn't operate anymore. What would it be? What? The heart. Well, yes, got me on that one. You take that away. But it's the head. All right? You take away the head, and the person would not be able to operate as a person. Right? The head is of utmost importance. What about if I were to build a building out of blocks? What if I took a block away from that building, which block would I have to take away to make the building fall? A block on the top or a block on the bottom? Come on, boys. The bottom. Thank you. That's the picture of the foundation. See, I want you to notice that God uses these illustrations And I want you to notice how key it is where God's involvement is in these illustrations. Because in the illustration of a body, in the body of Christ, who is the head? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head, the most crucial part of the body. It is the part of the body that governs all the others and that dictates to the rest of the members of the body where to go, what to do, and how to operate. You have the building. And of course, when you build a building, what do? You start from the foundation, the ground, and you build it up. You build it up. And the Bible uses the illustration of the church as a building. And it speaks of Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, which is the most important stone in a foundation. I'm not a builder. I had a little bit to do with building when I was in surveying. But I know enough that you would all, when you build a foundation, you have to start with something that is, with a stone or a block that is just perfectly placed. So that everything else, all the walls will go off of that one block. It will be square. And it will be level. And everything else builds off of that. Thus we see Jesus Christ in both illustrations as being absolutely imperative. Jesus Christ. Let's look at our passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to begin this morning by looking at the illustration of the church, the structure of the body. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I know I read a lot of verses there, but you know, we're here to study the Word of God. And so I am not afraid to read lengthy passages. We're not going to look at detail at the entire passage, but I want to draw your attention to a couple very key points. I want you to, number one, understand that a body is built from the top down. In other words, the head is the priority. You know, you see Jesus Christ here placed as the head of the body. He's not the foot. He's not the hand. He's not even the heart. He's the head. He's the head of the body. And so, as we enter into this discussion of the church, along with the Apostle Paul here, the emphasis is on Jesus Christ as the head, and that everything else flows from Him. I want you to notice also that believers are members of this body. And it's interesting in these passages that you see mentioned the word one. There is one body with one head, but there are many members. The body is made up of one head, but many members. And this is easy for us to understand because you just look at a body, right? You look at a body, we've got one head. And we're one body. But we have many, many, many different parts. And this is the illustration that God chooses to illustrate the body of Christ, the church. The book of Acts, you see Jesus Christ, the substance of the church. The gospel is the message. And so Jesus Christ, being the head of the body, He then controls that body and every individual member that's connected to Him. You know, this beautifully goes along with John chapter 15, where you see that concept of abiding in Christ. And we see that this body is made up of believers, people that have believed in Jesus Christ. The Bible calls them saints, and you look at your text there in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Literally, saints is a word that means holy ones. And this body made up, it's one body, but it made up of many members. Now, let's think a little bit about our physical body. We've got many members, but they all work together, don't they? They all work together. And so what God is doing is He's saying, look at your body, church. Look at your physical body and saying, that's how I want you to operate. Yes, you may be different. You may be very diverse. And that is by design, because the scriptures talk about how the church, each individual is given gifts as God wills it, as the Spirit wills it. But we are diverse, but we are all to operate in unity. This passage says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And it's so fascinating the context in which you see this illustration found. You see that the context here is that of love and unity and peace. Now let's think about this a little bit. Do you ever have a problem with this finger and this finger getting along? No, we don't, do we? Now, you know, sometimes we may have a little disconnect between the head and the hand, especially if we're hurling a hammer. But you see that there is a unity in the body. I mean, let's face it, God's designed us in this body. And now what He's doing is using something that He has designed to illustrate something else that He has designed, the church. Now, if we look at our text here, we see that in verse 11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And here He is speaking of leadership in the church. These are men that God has given to the church. Verse 12, and I'm not going to go into much detail in these passages, but for verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying, another way to say that is the building up of, in other words, the strengthening of the body of Christ. So let's think about this now. We have a body that Jesus Christ has given leadership to, given men to lead it, to build upon as a foundation. And these are to strengthen the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, dear church, it is sad. It's a sad reality, but our world is looking for the perfect man. You don't have to go far. You can see it in catalogs, magazines. You can walk through the mall. You can see it on billboards, but you will see man's idea of perfection. You will see airbrushed pictures and all of these things, these people that are presented. Hollywood superstars many times are presented as, you know, the most beautiful person, the most handsome person in the world. I mean, I'm sure you've seen these lists. The world is looking for beautiful people. Church, we are to be striving to be the most perfect and beautiful body, that of Jesus Christ. We must not be distracted by the pleasures of this world, for in a very true sense, we are part of the perfect body, our perfect head, Jesus Christ, and God has designed it to be in His image. And we are a part of that. If you have believed and trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a part of that. And you have a part to play in His body, the church. Let us not miss this illustration where Paul says in verse 13, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Our standard is not a Hollywood superstar. It is not a preacher. It is Christ. It is Jesus Christ. In verse 14, we see that we henceforth be no more children. And so as Paul continues to build this illustration, he's building the picture in our minds, isn't he? And now he's introducing the aspect of maturing. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, Paul brings a couple little ideas to our minds here. He brings the picture of a child. And as we look at a child, as we consider a child, we know that they do lack the maturity of a full-grown adult. We know that they are not able to make the decisions that adults make. They have some growing up to do, don't they? And Paul uses the illustration of waves. Think of like a, if you just throw a cork, you throw a cork into a body of water, and then swish that water around and the cork just is going to flip and flop and there's no securing it. I mean, this reminds me of a time I was in a boat, and this is the first and probably the last time I will ever do this, but I was in a motorboat that actually had sleeping cabins on it. It wasn't that big, but probably 30 foot. My uncle had this boat, and we were as a family invited out to go sleep on this boat. And down in the Chesapeake Bay. So we were all excited. It's our first time we've ever done anything like this. We go out, have fun in the water. That night we go to bed. And I am up there. I'm sleeping in this little cubby that's like this high. And you're just up and over top of driver's seat and you're just, it's not a great place to sleep. But anyway, I'm sleeping in there. The window's open just to let some cool air in. In the middle of the night, I am woken to our boat just rocking violently and water coming in the window. Now, mind you, I'm a boy and I am first time on a boat and I think I'm done. I'm in this tiny little hole and I got water coming in. And I freaked out and, got out of there, bumped my head on the roof and everything else. But what happened? Why did our boat rock? Our boat rocked because somebody drove by, hit our anchor, hit the rope, broke the rope, and our whole boat just rocked. And that's a scary place to be. It is an unsettling place to be. You have no firm footing, nothing secure when you're out on the water. You know, Paul says here, listen, you are to be maturing. As children, in their immaturity, so many times their life can be rocked by lies, deception, craftiness of people. Their lives can be tossed to and fro like our boat upon the water. And the Apostle Paul says, don't be like children, church. Don't be like that and just listening to every little thing that comes along. But rather in verse 15, but be a truth speaker. Be someone who is speaking the truth in love. Why? That you may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I am so glad that God gives us room to grow. He gives us room to grow. Let's face it, Jesus Christ is God. He never learns anything because He already knows everything. He doesn't need to grow because He's God anyway. He's Jesus Christ. And here we are to grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It's like a newborn. Their head is usually much bigger in proportion to their body, isn't it? But what happens as we grow? We grow up to fit our head. And so should we. As a church, we need to grow up to fit our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. How is all this put together? What does this mean for all of us that are members? I mean, you could picture yourself. You may be a finger, and you may be a thumb, and maybe you're a toenail. But these are all parts of a body. And they are all designed to work together. In verse 16, what we see is Paul moves from this idea of the maturing, moves down to the idea of how all of this is put together, the members, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Interesting terms. We have this idea of fitly joined together, the idea of two things that are put together in just the right way. Have you ever stopped and thought about how your body is put together? This idea of compacted, that means that it is put together in such a way that it works well together. Our muscles connect us and give us ability to move and to operate. We have blood vessels and capillaries that flow and give us circulation. And that way we can move. And you see, God has put us together according to the effectual working, and the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body has been put together by God. And it's been put together and designed to work well. All right, so now let's evaluate. Let's think about this a little bit. Let's be honest and say we are the body of Christ. Okay? All right, so we are the body of Christ. Who is our head? Christ. Who are we? We are Christ's body. Who are you individually? You're a member of that body. What are we called upon? We are called upon to mature as a church to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. In other words, our head is the perfect Lord Jesus Christ. And God has called us to grow up into Him, to be people, a body that operates in the sphere of Jesus Christ. Are you resting in His headship? Are you resting in the headship of Jesus Christ? What does that mean? Well, I'll be honest with you, and I will tell you that I don't know how to operate in this body. So what do? I go to the head, Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus Christ that first of all allows me to be a part of this body. It's His grace through the gospel. And then it is me looking at His life and His example that shows me how I can live and operate. And then it is the Holy Spirit that was sent to indwell me that empowers me to be able to live that way. And so listen, dear ones, we need to be a church that is resting in the headship of Jesus Christ. We are His body. And therefore, we are to operate, we are to make decisions based upon what our head is telling us to do. Remember our phrase, the church is not a man-run organization. It is a God-directed organism. We're alive. We are living. And God, through His Spirit, is alive within us, giving us the ability to be the living, breathing body, Jesus Christ. The body. I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, wonderful passage as you consider what has happened in your life if you're a Christian. Verse 1, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And He continues on down through that passage to explain what change has happened in your life. I'd like to pick up at verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." What is the church? Well, the church is a body, but the church is also a building. Is it a physical building? Children, is it a physical building? We learned this a couple months ago. No, it's not a physical building. It's people. And so as we talk about this, this is an illustration. It's a spiritual house. It's a spiritual building. And Paul is merely using this idea of building practices to illustrate the church and its structure. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. We knew that was going to be true because of what Matthew 16 says. I will build my church upon this rock. And he's speaking to Peter and the other apostles that are there. And so there is the foundation. But notice who the chief cornerstone is. It's Jesus Christ. And you must remember, it's that cornerstone. It's that cornerstone that makes that building strong, makes that building so it is accurate, it's correct, it's straight, it's level. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And we see here that the Apostle Paul, speaking to the saints and saying that they are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. And what we are seeing here is not only is the church illustrated as a body, but it is also illustrated as a building. It is a spiritual building, a building that is the habitation of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. You realize, dear ones, that each one of you individually has the Spirit of God living within you. And it is the Spirit of God that is your teacher, that is your guide. And God here is directing that we together are a spiritual building. And our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to draw your attention to 1 Peter as well. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. We also see this presented. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3 says, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Dear ones, have you ever looked at yourself as a stone in the wall of the church? Where are you building your life? Upon what foundation? Are you building your life upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you getting His perfect guidance and level and accuracy? You place yourself there. And God uses you and builds you into a church that is strong and healthy. You know, as we consider resting in His headship, we also need to rely upon His foundation. You know what, dear ones, as we think about this concept of the church and in these illustrations, both of them, it's not about us. The church is not relying upon us or built upon us as people. It's built upon Jesus Christ. You can't take Jesus Christ away from either one of these illustrations and have something that is going to work. You take away the head and you have no body that's going to operate. You take away the chief cornerstone of this building, and this building will fall. let's take ourselves out of this. As far as, you know what? This church is all about Jesus Christ. And we need to begin to ask ourselves this question. Who does God want us to be as a church? You know, this is a question that God has been challenging me in my heart and life. Who does God want us to be as the Christian Church of Laurel Grove? You know, this church has been around for a long, long time. And God has done some mighty, mighty things in our midst, in our community. But dear ones, God wants us to operate as a body. One body, whose head is Jesus Christ, but we have many members gifted in a diverse, in a great diversity, with great diversity. This is the question of priority. Who does God want us to be? And He's given us these illustrations so that we can answer that question. He wants us to be His body. He wants us to be His building. He wants us to be His dwelling place. He wants us to be those gifted by His grace to accomplish His mission in this world. You know, we so often find ourselves asking, what does God want us to do? Don't we? Don't we ask that question? What does God want us to do? Dear church, let's not ask that question anymore. Let's focus rather on who does God want us to be. When we become who God wants us to be, we will already be doing what God wants us to do. When we become who God wants us to be, we will already be doing what God wants us to do. The importance is not about you and I doing things. The importance is about us being who God wants us to be. A healthy member of one body whose head is Jesus Christ. You know, in practical application of all this may mean that we need to begin talking differently. You know, as I learn different things in my life and different truths, I try to change my language. For example, when I learned about finances and I was confronted with this truth that all money is God's money, I had to change the way I talked about money. Instead of saying, this is my paycheck, I try to say, this is the money that the Lord's entrusted to me. This is His money. Think about the change of perspective when you're holding that check in your hand and you're saying, this is the Lord's money. This is not my money, it's the Lord's. You know what, churches may mean we need to change our vocabulary and the way we talk about the church. Instead of saying, this is my church, this is our church, you could say, this is the God's body of which I'm privileged to be a part. There's nothing wrong with saying this is our church. But why not just change the vocabulary a little bit and introduce the concept, you know what, this is God's body, and I'm just blessed to be a part, blessed to be a member of such a wonderful body. Maybe instead of saying, I believe we should do, and you fill in the blank, you should say, I believe, based upon God's leading in my life, that He desires us to. What does that require of us? That requires us of us to rely upon the leading of God. And it takes us out of the picture instead of saying, we should do this and do that. God's directing us in this way. And dear ones, Before you say that, you be sure that God's directing. And if we can't say that, sometimes we might have to sit on some ideas for a while. Or maybe we just have to be quiet and allow God to give us some confidence in ways that we are to move and lead and direct. But dear ones, we are a God-directed organism. That means we rely on the Spirit of God to direct. Instead of saying the church's finances, we need to start saying the Lord's money, which He's given us stewardship over. What a change of perspective. Here's one. Instead of saying, what does the pastor think about this? Why not say, what's God's doing? How is God leading in our pastor's heart and life? How is Jesus Christ, my head, leading in my life? Dear ones, you've got the same head, Jesus Christ, I have. I'm just another member, just like you. God has placed, yes, maybe me up here to speak, but I got to tell you, you are just as important to a healthy body. God wants us to grow up in Him. So church, maybe we need to change our vocabulary. Allow your mind to begin thinking more in this realm. We are the body of Christ. We are one body, many members. We are a building that is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And allow these illustrations and these truths to impact the way you live and the way you operate as a part of the Christian Church of Rural Grove. Dear ones, the application of this is profound. And I trust that we will be confronted by these truths and that we will be living differently and we'll be talking differently. It'll be exciting to hear conversation as we begin to exercise these truths and apply them even as we talk with one another. Lord Jesus, I thank You for guiding us through our time today. Thank You for the illustration of the body. Thank You for the illustration of the building. And God, these things are throughout the Scriptures, throughout the epistles. And I thank You for teaching us today what is most important, Jesus Christ. And we exalt You today in Jesus' name. Amen.